situations in the United States, particularly focusing in those political prisoners and POWs, prisoners of war, that were directly involved in the liberation and nationalist movements from the 60s and the 70s. For example, we're talking about the Black Panther Party, Black Liberation Army, the Native American Indian Movement. We're talking about the Puerto Rican nationalists and white anti-imperialists, the Weather Underground, the Republic of New Africa. Organizations such as that nature that actually sought to change and cause the demise of the capitalist system and bring about a government that was for the people and true indeed the socialist government for the most case, where people decide and determine their own destiny. There are prisoners that are still incarcerated from those decades gone by. They are indeed Al Nelson Mandela's, our freedom fighters, many of whom have been incarcerated now well over 40 years. We're talking about the 60s and 70s for the most of them, even though there are some that have been incarcerated in the 80s and leading up until even the 90s. We have still the onslaught. These prisoners were the fallout of the counterintelligence program and their combat, our combat of racism and oppression, political oppression back in those times, much of which exists today in various different forms. And some of them, as the old saying goes, the more things change, you know. You can figure out the rest, the more things change. So Jericho's organization that represents them and campaigning for their freedom, amnesty campaign. We always have some coals in the fire. We try to work and have their own support committees and defense committees now. So in those cases, Jericho works along with those committees to add that type of support, whatever it may be, to try to free these sisters and brothers. When I talked about the COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program fallout, that was, I guess, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, indeed, the United States government and state apparatus premier program to try to cause the demise of these liberation movements by destroying the individuals, discrediting them, and making sure that a quote-unquote messiah didn't arise amongst the people that's going to galvanize them and lead them down the road to freedom. In regards to who you were, you would have been targeted by the counterintelligence program. We coined it as the COINTELPRO program. So when you hear the acronym, that's what it is referring to. Presently, we have approximately 60-some political prisoners on our particular list. Indeed, we have hundreds of political prisoners in the United States. Like I said, we represent primarily those that are connected with different movements. But today, you still see with the war on terrorism and the targeting of Muslims, with the whole conspiracy nonsense from Homeland Security, which is a continuation, I guess, in many respects of the COINTELPRO program, and the animal rights liberation movements and individuals that are involved in these efforts to make us a better world. So political prisoners are a term that we say that regardless of if you advance the action, political prisoner of war. If you are victimized, set up or frame conspiracy charges, it doesn't matter. You fall in our list now of political prisoners. So that's our definition of political prisoners. Those that actually fought against racist capitalist system that existed, and we represent those.
That's great. As far as recent or historical examples of some successful liberation, either attempts or straight up getting people out. Can you talk a little bit about that historically and contemporarily?
Well, I guess historically, I guess the most audacious move that we highly celebrate is the actual liberation of Sister Assad Shakur. Many of us know as Joanne Chesimar from the prison in New Jersey, and had assault team from the Black Liberation Army and elements of the Weather Underground to free her actually from a prison, which I guess everyone knows now that she is resides in Cuba under their protection. And she was granted asylum legally under international law, just that the United States, when it comes to those type of issues, flagrantly disregards international law and only plays it out to support the women in their favor. But nevertheless, that is a victory that we celebrate. As a matter of fact, last year, 2013, November 2nd, we have called National Science for Liberation Day, and so the second or the weekend closest to this November 2nd, every year we will be celebrating her freedom, and we'll end hopefully the freedom of all political prisoners in the call to free all political prisoners. So hopefully those listening will be able to join us around in your city, in this country, on November 2nd with your own activities to highlight the issue of political prisoners. But there have been also legal campaigns. I guess the most recent was the quote-unquote compassionate release of Sister Lynn Stewart. She's an attorney that represented the Sheikh Abdul Rahman, known as the Blind Sheikh. She has terminal cancer, and through much effort, you cannot believe the number of phone calls, petitions to the Bureau of Prisons, letters that have been written demanding her release, calling for her release. And finally, the Bureau of Prisons capitulated, and they made their formal request, which is the protocol, how it's supposed to go to the judge, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, in New York, and he immediately signed for her release. That is an example of people coming together, and Jericho played a direct role in that, but definitely her husband, Ralph Pointer, who led the charge really in such a marvelous way with the consistency and tenacity that we can all just look at this wonderful brother and see what he did for his wife. But also, prior to that, Ralph was also championing the causes of all political prisoners, and he's still active in doing that, even with his wife coming home. Between all of that, we had several other medical releases. I guess noteworthy now to mention is the effort that Marilyn Buck was released, even though she died shortly after her release, and she also had cancer. And that effort was spearheaded primarily by attorney Sophie Elijah, Jill Elijah, and also all of the work that organizations, including Jericho, did to champion her release, finally gaining her release. The issue with Herman Wallace, who was part of the Angola 3, who recently just passed away, gained a medical release as a result of a judge signing the order freeing him from prison. But that came only as a result of what I'm talking about now, our constancy and focus on the issue to demand the freedom of all political prisoners. Now, these prisoners are being released for medical reasons. That is the touted reason that they have been released. But our call for political freedom, for freedom for these political prisoners, is not just because of their medical concerns, even though that takes priority. And when you mentioned democracy, now we just found that on the 23rd, listeners can archive it and check it out. Had myself was on, along with six other guests that addressed in one way, fashion, or form the whole issue of political incarceration. This was a fabulous program, and particularly in the sense that it finally raised the question forthrightly of our own Nelson Mandela, our own freedom fighters. And that along, we applaud Amy Goodman and her co-hosts for doing this program, which you don't see these type of issues too much. And we know that's alternative news, but still, it was a big boom for us. So those are the type of issues, Adam, that we engage in. Aging political prisoners, medical releases, all these are the reasons that we utilize to try to get our sisters and brothers out of prison, because they are genuine. The point that I would like to have made on that station, and hopefully it's beginning with this public airing of this particular program, is the point that regardless of how old or a person may be in prison, which is definitely something to be considered, regardless of their medical condition, if they're virulent and healthy and strong, or just have all kinds of illnesses and terminal or chronic conditions, all these warrant the call for their release and definitely their release. But because of the nature of their cases, being political prisoners, we're trying to bring to the government's attention and in educating the people around this whole struggle to free political prisoners, that because of the nature of their cases, they should be free. When we look around the world and countries, including European nations, Germany and being one for sure in Britain, they've freed so many of their political prisoners from back in their era when they had an intense struggle to transform the governments that they lived, the Baader-Meinhof, the Red Brigade. It's only the United States that primarily that doesn't recognize the fact of the struggles of their own country. Unfortunately, that's the challenge that we have to get our prisoners freed also.
Right. Jihad, you mentioned a really crucial point here, that we have our own, quote-unquote, Nelson Mandelas within domestic boundaries. And can you just talk a little bit more about the dynamics of that statement? Because generally, it seems very easy for people to talk about Nelson Mandela and to sing songs of praises on his behalf, whereas we get little of attention towards anyone who's locked up within domestic boundaries. And why do you think that is?
Well, Adam, definitely, I'm sure you're right on for you for even asking that type of question. And so many of other commentators and news programs have just addressed that question and throw it out there. It's really cutting to the chase about what's going on in our country, because the political, socioeconomic conditions historically, all the way up until now. And the United States is a place where efforts to be free have always been met with resistance from the status quo, regardless if it's the slave master's whip, you know, paddy rollers, dogs, a noose being thrown in the bottom of a lake or a river, being castrated, being denied our basic human rights, has always been resisted since this inception of the slaves and people, you know, being brought from other countries here to the United States up until this present day. In South Africa, Nelson Mandela definitely spearheaded, the struggle there under the auspices of the African National Congress. And this is a very unique history that I suggest sisters and brothers involved in our struggle today to review and see what the parallels are here. So here, apartheid. What is apartheid? Government based on separation of the races, and the foundation of that is racism. One race clearly is saying they're superior in all ways, fashion, form than the other races, and the other races being people of color indeed. In the same exact same situation here in the United States, white racism, and now it's institutionalized white racism for the most part, but we still see so many glaring examples. But back in the 60s and 70s, these organizations that I mentioned previously, you know, seeking to fight against these oppressive, inhumane conditions as a result of racism, apartheid, U.S. apartheid. So here we are, fast forwarding. Nelson Mandela, 27 years or so in prison, being released also because of the pressure of people from around the world and the intense struggle going on in his country, being released from prison, okay? And it's a historically phenomenal thing, becoming the president of his nation, and so many of our political prisoners probably run the country too, but with their humanity, just the same as he did. And we champion him. When I say we, the United States government and governments around the world, they praise him. Everybody saw it on TV a couple of weeks ago, praising him. Not a soul at that particular time, Adam, asked, was he guilty as charged? Well, what exactly did he do? The United States just taken Nelson Mandela off the U.S. terrorist list in 2005 under the watch of George Bush when he was president. Now here we are making these very contradictory, hypocritical statements and applauding him. Mind you, he should be applauded. We applaud him. Jericho applauds him. I'm sure everybody listening to this program applauds him. But when the person doing the applauding is keeping the same type of freedom fighters incarcerated in their country and not even so much as acknowledge that they are political prisoners, let alone freeing them. You know, it just shows the blaring hypocrisy that this government is so noted for, and racism continues to exist. When we say our Nelson Mandelas, you know, we have so many freedom fighters that fought the same conditions, same type of character, same type of strength as Nelson Mandela, rotten in these prisons today. So that's what we mean by our own Nelson Mandela government.
Great.
Not in many minds.
It makes a lot of sense to me. And one thing, too, that we talk about on this program is really the horrors and terrors of being someone who's locked up inside within the U.S. Criminal and justice system in general, right? And what people go through on a daily basis when they're locked up. Now, the question here, though, for you is, In what cases are the conditions different and or worse for people who are politically incarcerated?
Well, when it comes to political incarceration, once a person is politicized, regardless if they went into a political prison or even the data, there's always the phenomenon of somebody being politicized. Once they come in, they might have had a record for social crime, robbery, or drugs, narcotics, or whatever the case may be, become politicized in prison. Then the attitude towards the prison administration oftentimes changes, you know, to become more systematically repressive, because the whole contradiction between slavery and freedom, the state and the people, exists very acutely inside prison. There's no gray line. It's very clear. And outside here in the free world, the quote-unquote free world, there's so many distractions, and you can point to individuals' progress or seeming progress of individuals, and there you go. But in prison, the line is clearly drawn. And when an administration knows that you're political and you're still active and you're a political prisoner, then their treatment of you is different. And oftentimes that treatment is to deny you medical attention, have you in long-term solitary confinement, just like I said, the Angola 3. We have Russell Strop. We have Veronzo Bowers, who was granted parole. I think his parole time was up in 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it was recommended that he be released after 31 years or so in prison, and the government stepped in. The attorney general at that time, his name escapes me, stepped in and said, no, he can't go. Political incarceration, he cannot go home. Keeping somebody in a segregation unit for decades, they say the study is that once a person is in confinement, solitary confinement, isolated from human contact for 15 days, that's 2 weeks and a day, they begin to experience sometimes irreparable mental damage. And now we're talking about decades, 10, 20, 50, on, 25, 30 years, 40 years. It's so inhumane, it defies any type of logic. And oftentimes this is the treatment when somebody's political, particularly if they're still active and seeking, you know, the freedom of people and addressing oppression and speaking out against racism. We have these examples. I guess, so to answer your question, Adam, I guess one of the clearest examples is, one, denying adequate medical attention. Two, refusing to release somebody on parole after their time has been served. Three, the sentence itself. Four, their very incarceration itself. And their deny, five, the denial of their existence as political prisoners. And, you know, so their treatment is oftentimes different. My wife and I, Darcelle, this summer we had the pleasure of going throughout New York State to visit several of the political prisoners. David Gilbert, he is a member of the Weather Underground. When we went there to visit him, these young officers were in the lobby. If anybody hasn't been there, in New York, you can go and visit, show ID, sign the forms, and go in and visit the prison, assuming their time for visitation is there. And the two guards, young guards, now start singing this song about the cop killer, the cop killer. So that right there, it reflects their attitude from visitors walking through the door to visit an individual. And like I said, in this case, David Gilbert. Now, they're singing this song, so it is, once we said who we were going to see, it is clear in their mind who this person is. And they don't sleep on it. You know who sleeps on our political prisoners? The people, and out of our ignorance, we don't know them, we do not support them, but you can believe you, me, the state knows them, almost down to the local peon, you know, a guard who may not be able to spell, do write or read, can't spell the name Johnson or Jones, it's that they know, the state knows, it's just that we are so distracted and so depoliticized that we just don't recognize it. But the treatment is definitely different when it comes to political prisoners.
Yeah, and as far as any redress over any of these issues, we can go back in time, for example, you know, and talk about the 1975 church committee hearings that happened. And then more recently, you know, as you mentioned with Lynn Stewart getting out, Bill Clinton also pardoned a few people. And so can we talk about next steps now, and where do we go from here? We've seen examples of COINTELPRO being deemed illegal. We've seen examples of presidential pardons. And now we see kind of this next step as we're, you know, in the second decade of the 21st century here, seeing people like Lynn Stewart getting out, and that there are opportunities for exploiting the fact that we're really growing attention around these issues, including doing it on this program tonight. So can we talk about next steps and what that also entails for Jericho in general?
Right. Once again, Adam, that's a very good question. I appreciate my brother. Yeah, we started off or ended the year and started this year, ended 2013 and began 2014 with a very, very solid. You know, state them all down to move that piece of the local, you know, guard, going to be able to make up spell right. Do you read the word? Can't spell name Jared, you know, Jones Johnson. That we know, they know, they know, state that we just we so destroyed so impacted and deeply so eyes put aside. We just said, organized on record. But the treatment is different, it's definitely difficult because of prisoners.
And as, yeah, any as far as redress. Yes, any of the overviews, these issues, go back and we can come for a good time. Example, talk about, you know, in 19 South, the 95-70 committee church that had hearings happened, and more. And then recently, you mentioned, you know, as in Stewart with laying out, we're getting, Clinton, all Bill Cardin, also people, a few people, and we talk about, so can we step about next, and now, where do we go, we're here, we've so from example, seen examples of Intel coining Dean Pro being legal, deemed illegal. An example we've seen is the president's pardon, and now kind of this we see up next, you know, as we're a decade in the second first century, the 21st century here, seeing people like being getting Lynn Stewart, there are out, and that community is we're growing really around attention on these issues, doing it, including programmed on this tonight. Talk about, so can we steps next, what that entails for also in go in general.
Right. Well, Adam, that's again a good question. Very appreciate my brother. Started off, yeah, we started the year or ended this year and started 2000 ending in 2013 began team with a very, very solid state knows them. Almost down to the local peon, you know, a guard who may not be able to spell, do write or read, can't spell the word, the name Johnson or Jones. It's that they know. They know. The state knows. It's just that we are so distracted and been so depoliticized that we just don't recognize it. But the treatment is definitely different when it comes to political prisoners.
Yeah, and as far as any redress over any of these issues, we can go back in time, for example, you know, and talk about the 1975 church committee hearings that happened. And then more recently, you know, as you mentioned with Lynn Stewart getting out, Bill Clinton also pardoned a few people. And so can we talk about next steps now and where do we go from here? We've seen examples of COINTELPRO being deemed illegal. We've seen examples of presidential pardons, and now we see kind of this next step as we're, you know, in the second decade of the 21st century here, seeing people like Lynn Stewart getting out, and that there are opportunities for that we're really growing attention around these issues, including doing it on this program tonight. So can we talk about next steps and what that also entails for Jericho in general?
Right. Once again, Adam, that's a very good question. I appreciate my brother. Yeah, we started off or ended the year and started this year, ended 2013 and began 2014 with a very, very solid, you know, state them. Almost down to move that whole piece of the local peon, you know, guard, guard beard who made up spell right, do read the word, can't spell name Jared, you know, Jones Johnson, that we know, they know, they know, state that we just, we so destroyed, so impacted, and deeply so eyes put aside, we just said, organized on record. But the treatment is different, man. It's definitely difficult because of prisoners.
And as, yeah, any, as far as redress, yes, any of the overviews, these issues, go back and we can come for a good time. For example, talk about, you know, in 19 South, the 95-70 committee church that had hearings happened, and more. And then recently, you mentioned, you know, as in Stewart with laying out, we're getting, Clinton, all Bill Cardin, also people, a few people, and we talk about, so can we step about next, and now, where do we go, we're here, we've so from Hempel, seen examples of Intel coining Dean Pro being legal, deemed illegal, we've seen examples, we've seen examples of presidents pardon, and now, kind of this, we see next, you know, as we're a decade in the second first century, the 21st century here, people like being getting Lynn Stewart. There are out in that community opportunities for us that we're growing, really around attention on these issues, doing it, including programmed on this tonight. Talk about, so can we steps next what that entails for also and go in general?
Right. Well, Adam, that's again a good question. Very appreciate it. My brother. We started off, we started the year, or ended this year, and started 2000, ending in 2013, 2000, began with a very, very solid state knows them, almost down to the local peon, you know, a guard who may not be able to spell, do write or read, can't spell the word, the name Johnson or Jones. It's that they know. They know. The state knows. It's just that we are so distracted and been so depoliticized that we just don't recognize it. But the treatment is definitely different when it comes to political prisoners.
Yeah, and as far as any redress over any of these issues, we can go back in time, for example, you know, and talk about the 1975 church committee hearings that happened. And then more recently, you know, as you mentioned with Lynn Stewart getting out, Bill Clinton also pardoned a few people. And so can we talk about next steps now and where do we go from here? We've seen examples of COINTELPRO being deemed illegal. We've seen examples of presidential pardons. And now we see kind of this next step as we're, you know, in the second decade of the 21st century here, seeing people like Lynn Stewart getting out and that there are opportunities for that we're really growing attention around these issues, including doing it on this program tonight. So can we talk about next steps and what that also entails for Jericho in general?
Right. Once again, Adam, that's a very good question. I appreciate my brother. Yeah, we started off or ended the year and started this year, ended 2013 and began 2014 with a very, very solid, you know, state of them.
And this has been Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Portland. You can find the entire program at our website at kboo.fm. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio, so stay tuned for that.
Mo is Shy, the KBOO docudrama based on the Portland Christmas tree trial, airs this January 29th, 6 to 8 p.m. Here's FBI suit and tie guy Milton Trustis by Sam Parrish.
I've worked 12 years for the FBI, cyber terrorism, counterterrorism, narcotics, a variety of cases. The FBI started this investigation when the defendant's father contacted us in September of 2009. I got involved in the spring of 2010 when we found out that he was in contact with dangerous people in Pakistan.
January 29th, 6 to 8 p.m.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's history. It's history. Never been done before. Never been done in this before. Country. In this country.
Tell you today, rabbit hunting is done with the rabbits. What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition. It is Hard Knock Radio. David D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we talk with the legendary poetess Sonia Sanchez about the life and times of the Miri Baraka. Later on, we talk with Kali Ankuno from the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement about what is going on in Jackson, Mississippi under the mayorship of Chikwe Lumumba. All that and more coming up after the afternoon headlines.
Yeah, what's really going on? This is Boost from the Coup with Hard Knock Radio. You gotta be there.
What up, y'all? It's Aya Sage, a.k.a. Rocky Rivera, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop.
Davey Deef, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. And many of us are still reeling from the news of losing a giant among giants. A landmark figure, we're talking about Miri Baraka. And we just didn't want to leave the conversation with just one or two mentions. We wanted to continue to celebrate his life and get more insight. And one of the people that we definitely need to talk to is his comrade. She's a poet, a mother, somebody who is definitely part of the Black Arts Movement, the author of over 20 books, and more recently named the Poet Laureate of Philadelphia. And that's just a very brief thing that we could talk about this next guest. We're talking about the one and only Sonia Sanchez. Welcome to the show. And
thank you, my dear brother. It's good